Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Much love to Bone Thugs and Harmony on my commercials. You know, it really, it's kind of been crazy lately because the world has kind of seen a different aspect of me than I've ever let them see. This last weekend I had on one of the greatest producers in the hip-hop industry on my show, and I also had the Foo Fighters, which is kind of weird because, you know, you mix rap and grunge. It's kind of, you know, off-topic. But it's an aspect that I've been doing for a long time, and most people don't really get to see that side, so I'm going to start sharing a lot more of that. But we have a tremendous show tonight. You know, I shoot for Invicta, and this last event, something had transpired that I don't think I've ever seen in my 24 years in the sport. With that being said, I would like to welcome the one and only Victoria Leonardo Mason to the program. Victoria, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, honestly, my hay fever is kicking my butt, but, you know, on the same note, I look back to the last Invicta, and as I stated in the beginning of the show, it was probably one of the most weird situations I've ever seen transition in a show, nor have I ever seen it happen before in the past. What were your thoughts when your opponent's arm got raised knowing you won the fight?
I mean, it was a crazy range of emotions for me. I know that you saw it because you were shooting with your camera, but if any of the viewers go back and our listeners go back and watch that fight, you can see the disappointment on my face. The, you know, because I really did believe and still believe that I won the fight, and now, you know that other people saw that I won the fight, and so, you know, initially I was very disappointed. I didn't, you know, want to let that affect me as far as, you know, hugging my opponent and shaking her coach's hands and that kind of thing, you know. So I was civil about it, but I definitely was angry, upset. I had a few people just come up to me as I made that walk back, you know, backstage from the cage, that said, hey, you know, you got robbed. There's no way that you knew. I saw you winning that fight. I don't know what happened. And so when I got backstage, you know, that's where I kind of let myself cut loose a little bit. I was chunking my gloves. I wasn't taking them off nicely. I was chunking them. I was frustrated. Sat down, and I mean, as soon as I sat down, I think my husband came in and said, hey, hold your head up high. You won that fight. You know, we got robbed. And then it's like seconds later, you know, one of the guys from the commission came and said, hey, they tallied the numbers wrong. And, you know, I'm thinking we're going to have to go through some paperwork process. And I'm like, so what do we do next? And he's like, follow me. We're going to make this right now. And so I followed him back up to the cage because we're down, you know, downstairs backstage. And, you know, as I made my way to the cage, then the emotions really overcame me. You know, I almost was in tears because I, you know, just this huge relief almost, you know, thinking I would have this loss on my record that I now don't have. And, you know, then I felt for Stephanie because Stephanie was still in the cage and, you know, we hugged and I said, you know, I'm sorry. I know this must suck for you. That was the first thing. I was like, I'm so sorry this happened. I don't think I said, you know, this sucks for you. I didn't say that, but I said, you know, I'm sorry that this happened, because I know that that's, you know, the opposite range of emotions that I'm having. And she actually said, you know, it's okay. I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. This was a great experience. So it was neat to kind of talk to her on my way back in. And yeah, it was just crazy. It was up there with the craziest things that have happened to me thus far.
Right. I could so agree with that. I mean, I've shot for every promotion. So just about. So when I look back to that night, you know, and I'm glad you articulated it the way you did. I mean, you left the cage with integrity as a professional, even though you knew what transpired. The crowd was kind of just like, you know, what did we just witness? And, you know, when you came back, you know, as you said in your statement, you can only imagine, you know, the feeling that girl was on Fight Pass on television around the world, and to be told, oh, we made a mistake, you didn't win. Because you both put on a hell of a war. You did.
For sure.
Was a hell of a war. You know, that's one thing I want to get across to my listeners. It was a hell of a war, but in my opinion, because, you know, everybody sees a fight different. The crowd sees it different than I do. The referee sees it different than I do. Even though I'm right there, everybody's perspective is different. But, you know, I got to give the commission a bad mark, because it's something you do before you take it back to the cage. You got to make sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed and everything is perfect. Now, see, the good thing is that happened in Kansas City, Kansas. Now, if it would have happened in Kansas City, Missouri, what the referee said would have stayed on file and you would have had to contest it. You know, that's what was
different
for me.
That's what I was thinking,
because
I would have had to do.
Yeah, and I've never seen that before. You know, it was the weirdest situation. But now you got a tremendous opportunity out of it also. Now you get to compete in the 8-woman tournament. And I got to tell you, this could be the path that you truly need anyway. You know, what did it mean for you, Victoria, to get that call and to be asked to be in this tournament? Because, as you know, Brianna Van Buren went in with not one of the most tremendous records in the sport, but she came out the champion, only to get signed into the UFC. You know, what are the possibilities? What are the thoughts going through your head?
Well, yeah, first of all, it's a huge opportunity. It's an honor to be one of the people, you know, chosen right off the bat to fill in, you know, for Santos. I think they couldn't get, you know, a suspension cleared. I was lucky enough, my suspension was in Kansas, because, and some people know this and some people don't. When I say I have a suspension, people are like, what happened? What did you do, like, an illegal substance? It's like, no, you get suspensions as well for damage that you take in a fight. I don't necessarily agree with the suspension I was given, because it's longer than if I had gotten a, like, TKO'd, and I don't understand that for a black eye. But, you know, Kansas gives you the opportunity to get it reduced by a doctor. So I had an ophthalmologist look at my eye. I knew nothing was wrong with it at that point, because I wasn't having any pain or vision loss or whatever. And so I was able to, you know, get my suspension reduced and be able to fight in the tournament. So I'm grateful for that, because, you know, obviously that didn't work out for the other girl. And I think, you know, winning this tournament would be a great thing. It would definitely push me into that next level. It's definitely something that I want, but I'm also coming in, you know, on a very short notice. Not that I fell out of shape or anything like that, but I've had less time than the other girls to kind of look at everybody and see where their strengths and weaknesses lie, you know, but because that's part of it. Most people like to look at footage of their opponents. It doesn't always help, but sometimes it does. Most, you know, football teams look at footage of whatever football team that they're playing, you know, so most fighters, most camps do that as well. You know, that's not 100% going to be the fighter you see in the cage, but it gives you an idea. And, you know, those are just the things going through my head. One thing that went through my head immediately was that I had to tell my husband, had to somehow, you know, get him to be like, hey, yeah, we can do this, you know, because when he had just left, actually, on a plane to China. So when I get this call, I'm actually out of town, too, visiting family. I get the call, and I'm like, you're going to have to give me a day because I'm wanting to take this fight, but I have to talk to my head coach, and he just took a plane to China to go corner our friend Derek Krantz in his second UFC outing in Shenzhen. So I had to literally wait for him to land and wait for him to contact me and be like, hey, is it all right if we take this fight? Because he's not going to be back until September the 1st, and the fight is September the 6th. So it's a little bit of a difficult turnaround just because of the scheduling. I myself feel like I'm in shape. My weight's good. You know, all of that's good. I'm healthy. I don't have any bad damage from the fight that I feel would affect me. And so I'm excited. I'm very excited to be a part of this. And you know, I want to win. I want to take it all home. And so what I can do is, you know, show up and be ready to fight.
Most definitely. You know, like I said earlier, Brianna Van Buren was in the last Phoenix Rising tournament, and she's now in the UFC, which is kind of this is more than just a huge opportunity for you. I think it's going to add a multiple variance to you because, you know, you did fight in Bellator. You know, I shot your debut in Invicta, but you fought for other promotions. You know, what would you do? Okay, you win the championship, and both the UFC and Bellator come calling. What does Victoria Leonardo, you know, Mason do?
UFC is definitely the goal. No doubt about it. That's definitely the goal. I mean, I'd probably look at both contracts or, you know, look at both offers to see what is available to me. But I want to be in the UFC. I feel like the best competition is there. You know, I don't know, like, what the different pay scale is for both organizations. You know, I've heard different things from different fighters. But, you know, it's never truly been about the money to me. It's always been about, you know, being the world champion in the greatest organizations. And, you know, I feel like Invicta is one of the best organizations when it comes to female competition. And I feel like then, you know, the next level is the UFC. That's the best competition out there. And so that's the kind of competition that I want. And so I feel like, you know, I would definitely want to go with them if they offered.
I love it because, as you know, I think out of all the UFCs, Invictus, I think I only didn't shoot like four of them. And so, like, almost every female that I see in the UFC today, I shot, you know. And
yeah.
And it's like I got to see their debut. I got to see them grow. And it's kind of the same thing through you. I've got to see your debut, even though you were already a professional. I got to see your Invicta debut. And I watched you grow from that point. And I got to tell you, this last fight, you were on point. You know, so what was it that you went back to the drawing board with your team, your husband, and everybody combined? What was it that you went back and figured out? Because you're not the same fighter you were when I look back to Invicta 31.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of mental and a mixture of technique, some things that we needed to tighten up. You know, I had always had success being the fighter with more grappling experience, I think. You know, I faced a lot of good strikers, and so, you know, my Invicta debut was against a good grappler, and even though I knew some of the technique I needed to use, I just wasn't used to having to do that. I was used to being the one on top, the aggressive one, the one pushing that person against the cage, and so, you know, we had to go back to the drawing board and really tighten, you know, some of my defenses. I feel like my takedown defense was a lot better in this last fight. You know, deciding when to wrestle and when not to wrestle, those kind of things. Mentally in the fight, I think, you know, in the debut, I kind of panicked, and this fight, I kind of proved to myself that I can be in bad positions and fight through them. You know, I think sometimes fighters go, oh, crap, I'm in a bad position. Oh, no. And then, you know, they just panic. And, you know, this time around, there was a moment where Stephanie had my back and she was trying to choke me and I defended the choke and I knew, hey, I've got male training partners that are a lot bigger that I can get out of this position with. And so I'm not going to panic. I'm going to fight through it. And I ended up reversing it and, you know, it worked out for me. So it's like a mixture of tightening down the hatches as far as technique goes, but also mentally staying calm in those situations.
That was a hell of, like I said earlier, that was a hell of a war with Stephanie. You know, the thing of it is, and most people could take it however they want, but, you know, I'm in the inner working, so I, like I said, I was there. It was a tremendous war. How did it feel for you to have that type of opponent that was game, that stood with you, that went to the ground with you? How did it feel to finally have an aspect of an undefeated fighter in front of your face and you compete with them?
Oh, it was thrilling. That, you know, that's what I love about Invicta and, you know, them making those matches, you know, because I feel like a lot of organizations don't make those matches. They pick somebody they want to kind of fluff up and, you know, you don't always get those really good matches. I'm friends with, like, some of her management team, and so they reached out to me before the fight and it was like, you know what happens, like two girls both coming up that are, you know, on win streaks. We ended up facing each other and it was a great fight and I enjoyed it. And I think she enjoyed it too. And we both enjoyed each other's toughness. Just, you know, neither one of us backing down really. Both of us were going at it, standing and ready to bang and ready to just keep on going. And she's tough, man. She is a super tough girl. And so that was really neat. It was a really great fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hate to be so descriptive, but, you know, to my listeners, her face was basically hamburger. I mean,
yeah.
Is that a fair aspect to put it in? I mean, it was a bloodbath.
Yeah, I think so. There was a moment in the fight, and I told this story to my husband, and he was like, you should have been punching her. Why were you watching her? And I was like, I was just kind of mesmerized for a second because of the blood that was coming out of her nose had gotten to the point, I guess it was like starting the kind of clot, but it wasn't just like leaking. It was like matter. And it like started to come out and she literally had to kind of like reach up and like kind of grab it and like wipe it off of her face. And I just stood there and watched her. Like I didn't hit her. It was almost like a respect thing. Like, hey, get that out of your face so we can keep going. And so I also got told, by my cornermen and by one of the camera girls that when we were up against the cage and that time I hammer fisted her, I had her arm trapped, I hammer fisted her, some of the blood actually splattered out and on them. This is why we get tested. This is why we have to give blood work when we fight. I'm glad for that. Cause that was definitely, if you see
I'm
the
glad
before,
too, because it gets on us.
Cage, yeah. If you see the before and after pictures of the cage, you know how much blood got all over the place.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, like I said, you know, I think it was a defining moment for you. I could be wrong, you know, because, you know, we're always open. You've been on my show before. You know how it goes. I don't ridicule aspect. I just keep it real. You know, do you think that, you know, MMA and boxing and kickboxing, now that you've kind of just kind of transitioned down to one genre of the sport, that it's helped in the betterment and the development of the path that you're on?
Oh, definitely. You know, I feel like it helps me, you know, I know this is cliche. Lots of fighters say that, you know, it helps them in life and all that, but it really does. You know, there's like a, almost like a weird sense of like focus that I get when I have like a fight coming up. You know, I tighten down the hatches everywhere. You know, it just gives me like this sense of purpose. You know, it enriches my life a lot. And what's really cool is just the people you get to meet, you know, all the connections that you get to make, the stories that you get to tell people, you know. So I hope one day, you know, when I'm somebody's grandmother, that I have like these neat stories to tell, like when I went and fought in Invicta against this 4-0 wrestler that, you know, we ended up fighting and there was blood all over the cage. I don't even know, like, if anybody has had a grandma tell them that story yet. So I'm excited to be one of the first grandmas telling that story.
I think you might be the first grandma to tell that story. That's what's tremendous. Go ahead.
My husband actually, I'm his second. He remarried, and so he has some older children, and, you know, one of them just had a child recently. So he is a grandfather by blood, and I'm, you know, technically already a grandmother. So I can't wait to tell little Sam these stories, and it's going to be interesting.
Well, it's cool because you've created a legacy for yourself already. I mean, people could say, well, she's, you know, not got that many fights. But the thing of it is, I look at life a little bit different. You can put yourself in that 9-to-5, come home every day after the hustle and bustle of rush hour, put your car in the garage, close it, sit down and watch TV for the night. Or you could choose the path that, you know, people like yourself, you know, either go in the cage, the mat, or the ring, or some other aspect of sport. And that right there says a lot about who you are. But to define yourself and to show the world and the sport that you're truly here to stay, that's already the creation of a legacy for yourself. You already have these stories to tell. But if you had to give a statement to the sport about who Victoria Leonardo Mason is, not just as a warrior, but as a woman in her walk, what would the statement be, my friend?
Ooh, that's a deep one. Let me think. I feel like a statement is so hard because, you know, like there's so many aspects of me that, you know, I don't necessarily get shown in the cage. But I would say that if I had to write a statement about myself, you know, I'm game. I want to be in this sport and face the best competition in order to call myself the best, you know. I'm ready to let me see. I'm stumbling here to try to figure out what I want to say. What I'm trying to say is I feel like, you know, people want the fame and the glory. Some fighters want the fame and the glory, but they kind of want to pad their way up and take the easy route until they get up, you know, where they're getting that good money, and then they'll take the hard fight. If you go back and you look at my record and you look at the people that I've fought, I haven't taken any easy fights, you know? So, but that's part of my legacy. I don't want to be a fighter that just takes the cakewalk up to the highest level and then gets beat. You know, I want to be the fighter that challenges herself at every level, you know? Just because I'm not taking easy fights doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not growing every fight, that I'm just the best already. I still have room to grow, but, you know, I'm willing to work hard and to grow as a fighter the way that I need to keep competing at the best levels. I don't know if that's not quite a statement. That's like a more than a statement.
Oh, it's all right. You know, the 8-woman tournament is quickly approaching. You know, I can't remember how they did it because they only did it one time before. But, you know, I don't know who your opponent's going to be. I don't even know if you know that yet. But
no.
Or if
they're
you
doing
can
it
say,
weigh-ins.
Yeah, and see that's what's crazy about it. It's such an opportunity. There's so much growth here. There's so much of a variance that when you look at this eight-woman tournament, that it could be so beneficial to all the hard work and determination and blood, sweat, and tears and adversity that you've put into the creation of who you are. And I commend you on that. You know, I wanted you on the show because, you know, I wanted to clear things up for the sports world because they saw what they saw on Fight Pass and they see what they see on social media, but they really don't get to know the true characteristics or aspects of how you felt or the thoughts that were emulated to you by the other fighter in that type of situation. So I'm glad we were able to clear that up. I'm more than stoked that you've got this opportunity, not even 25 days later, but
yeah.
You know, your game, and that says a lot about you. And to all you fighters out there that are coming up, take a page out of her book. Stay fight ready, because you never know when the next call is going to come. You know, and I'm glad this suspension kind of got lifted a little early, because another fellow native of yours down from Louisiana, Andre KGB Lee, as you well know, got in trouble for a water pill and had to sit out for a year. You know, situations are different, but you never know the outcome by the commission. So I'm glad they give you this opportunity to fight, because you so damn well deserve it. You know, you got back to the hotel that night. You're sitting there with your husband, and you guys look at each other, and you're going, what the hell just happened? You know, what were the thoughts that came across in that conversation? Because I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
It was an experience for sure. We went back to the hotel room. I don't know at what point we actually got to be alone, because we had, you know, Johnny Samaranjan was with us. Our other corner men were there. We were enjoying some pizza. I think my first thoughts after a fight, no matter how crazy or like, what can I go eat now? And then, you know, we were also waiting for them to decide who gets fight of the night. And we got that fight of the night bonus, me and Stephanie. So that was really cool. So we trekked back downstairs to go find the check and just talk to people, talked with Shannon a little bit and talked to some other fighters, took pictures. Yeah, honestly, I don't know what I said to my husband. We finally got alone. I think, no, he tried to sleep and I was just up. And that happens a lot after fights. It's like, you know, he's exhausted and my adrenaline's still going. And he's like, can we go to bed now? And I'm like, I don't feel like going to bed. Let's talk. Let's do something else, you know? And I don't know. It's always a crazy night. The night after. Sometimes I wake up early in the morning, which is not typical of my character. I usually sleep in, but there's something about winning a fight. It's like, I'm just, my adrenaline's so up there and I'm so excited that I can't sleep.
That reminds me of my younger days in the sport. You know, it's crazy because I could be dead dog tired, but the minute the first fighter walks out and the bell rings, it's like, I'm wide awake. You know, I'm going 1,000 miles an hour. And I think that's what I love about the sport is the adrenaline rush and the memories that it creates. You know, Victoria, you've created some memories in the sport that can't be duplicated. You know, the growth that you've shown in such a short period of time is tremendous. You know, your integrity and humility is second to none, and you know, you're earning your way in this sport the way a true gladiator should. So I commend you on what you're doing in all aspects. I can't wait to see you in the
eight-woman
tournament. I think it's going to be rocking. You know, I don't know. Somebody had said something earlier about, I don't even know how to say her last name, Karagainis, Melissa Karagainis. I guess you had fought on a card with her before.
I may have.
I think it was the like name Cut not, or
like
something
I can
like
see
that.
The name, but I cannot pronounce it either. But
yeah,
I know you're
I'm
going to
be embarrassed. I'm going to embarrass myself. I already know it. I'm just going to say, I don't know how to say your name. But, you know, it's crazy because you have defined yourself. And I hope you come out on top in the State Women Tournament. Because you put so much effort into the creation of who you are. And that, my friend, means a lot in this sport. You just don't see that anymore. You know, I want to thank a little homie of ours for setting this up, and that's Andrew Drew
Absolutely.
Griggs. Little Shrimpy. He's my homie. He is. He's a tremendous young man in his walk. You know, Victoria, thank you for honoring my show. I'm going to hand the mic to you. If there's any final statements you'd like to make, any social media sites, any friends or family that you'd like to mention, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you. And it's an honor being on the show. Thank you again for having me. I always want to thank my team because I feel like I have, you know, the best team in the world. We're not one of those big name gyms, but my coaches know what they're doing. And first and foremost, my husband, because he sees the parts of me that no one else sees and deals with me when I'm at my low points and when I'm cutting weight and all that stuff. So huge shout out to him. I love him. I hope that, you know, he finds success in China while he's coaching our friend Derek. And I want to thank my other coaches, Robin White, AJ Shin, Daniel King, Blake Franklin. They've all been a huge help to me during this fight camp and my last fight camp. And shout out to my sponsors, Mike Tilton's Plumbing and Down Home Sausage. If you've never had Down Home Sausage and you see it in the store, it's worth a try. It's probably the best sausage on the market. And yeah, if y'all want to follow me on social media, my Instagram is VicLeo16. There's an underscore somewhere in there. I'm always bad at remembering exactly what it is. But my fight page on Facebook is Victoria Fury Leonardo. So y'all give me a follow just to keep up and see how my fights go. And I appreciate everybody that is a fan, my family members. Everybody has been, you know, such a big part in helping me achieve these dreams, this dream. And thank you again for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, my friend. I can't wait to see you at Invicta, as always. I'll be there cheering you on. It's going to be a tremendous night for you, my friend. I hope you come out on top. Thank you once again for joining the show, and I look forward to having you back on afterwards.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. You have a good night, and God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Victoria Leonardo Mason. We're going to take a brief time out, and then when we come back, I guess we're not going to take a brief time out. We're going to move on to our next guest. If my board cooperates this evening. Melissa, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hello?
I apologize. This is the first time, I think, on my show that I'm not even going to try to attempt to pronounce your last name. I don't want to embarrass myself. How do you pronounce your last name so I don't get it wrong?
It's Karyanis.
Karyanis. Okay, mm-hmm. We have Melissa Magic Karyanis. Okay. You know, Melissa, I asked you on the show because you've been a tremendous aspect in the sport, and the humility is one of the reasons why I bring a lot of fighters on my show, and the integrity that you show towards the sport is tremendous, but the other reason is we're kind of Muay Thai freaks. You know, I kind of love that aspect of the sport. What is it about Muay Thai that truly enthralls you and takes you to that place that nothing else can?
Well, yeah, I started off with Taekwondo, but then I guess like majority of my fighting career was in Muay Thai. And just there's so much power behind everything, and Yeah, I just fell in love with it. You know, when I first started, I was awful. I was awful at it. And I just feel like I just worked my way up, and just one of those sports where you just become so passionate about it. I trained in Thailand for a little bit, and there's so much culture behind it, and yeah, a lot of respect. And yeah, I definitely think it's an amazing sport, martial art.
You know, the thing about the sport, it's crazy. It, like with Victoria Leonardo Mason, who was just on, you know, her fight, it was a weird situation. She was first told she lost her fight, only to have the commission come in and say they made a mistake and she won the fight, and it was a bloodbath. So from that, she's going into the eight-woman tournament. So it's a tremendous aspect that turned around, and now she has a huge opportunity. When you look at life, you've never been on my show before, so I'm going to let you know first and foremost, it's probably the most different show you're ever going to be on. It's probably one of the most real shows. It's kind of funny. They call me the Barbara Walters of MMA because I don't do the Wikipedia or Tapology shows. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to bounce around in your life, and the listeners are going to get to know a little bit about who you are. So take me back to the early days. What was life like for you, Melissa, and what enthralls you to walk down the path in any aspects, especially sports, when you were a young girl?
Well, my parents put me, my brother and I have a twin brother. So my parents put my brother and I in taekwondo, I guess, when we were in grade two. And I continued that for maybe, I don't know, up until like I was about 16. He slowly, you know, stopped going to classes, and I really pursued it. Like, you know, it was like something that I was always drawn to. And I used to compete in like provincial and provincial tournaments. I used to love sparring, and that was kind of like my happy place. And, you know, growing up, I was never like the popular girl or like the prettiest girl, or, you know, I used to be teased. I used to have like very low self-esteem, actually, believe it or not, growing up. And I guess martial arts and taekwondo, you know, it helps build my confidence. And and it's something I need in my life.
Well, you know, it's an aspect, it's an outlet that many variations of life, you know, it kind of reminds me of going back to, like, Jared Gordon, who fights in the UFC now. You know, he just won a title for CFSC, and he came on the show, he didn't want to talk about that. He wanted to talk about how 18 months prior to that he was a heroin and crack addict, and he wanted to tell the youth of America that no matter how down you are in life, you can always find a way up, but you can also still live your dream. And it was crazy because like a week after the show, he ended up getting signed to the UFC. And
wow.
And he went on to speak on a circuit to kids about the atrocities of life. You know, when you look at the different aspects of yourself growing up, how did the sport define you in your walk once you knew that was the avenue you wanted to walk?
Yeah, well, I knew it was something I was always drawn to, and like, you know, it taught me to be, you know, respectful, and it taught me it pretty much made me who the person I am, like very hardworking, and, you know, with the mindset, you know, you never give up, and like, you can achieve anything that you put your, you know, put hard work into, and you have the heart for. Pretty much like, you know, you win some, you lose some, but like you never, never, ever, ever give up, because, you know, that's the sport. It made me a true fighter, pretty much.
Well, you know, I kind of want to take you back because you had a couple fights with a person that has actually been on my show before. And, you know, in the outings that you did share, you beat her both times. You know, and she was actually at one point in time, I believe, the atomweight champion of King of the Cage, and that being Andy Nguyen. What did it mean for you to face Andy Nguyen and King of the Cage and come out on top?
Oh, that night was amazing. Also, like, I'm more of a striker for sure. But in that fight, I like proved that I had a pretty good ground game, and I'd say like 90% of the fight was on the ground, and we went all five rounds, and I think I impressed a lot of people, and yeah, it was just amazing. Like, words cannot describe. I was just like so happy, and yeah, I knew I could do it. My coaches knew I could do it, and yeah, it was unreal.
You know, the crazy thing is, not only did you do it once, but you did it twice. You know, you've had several mm-hmm. opportunities in the sport. What was it like for you to fight in Ryzen? You know, you look at the promotions that you fought for. You had this opportunity, King of the Cage, other promotions, and, you know, then you get this opportunity in Ryzen. What was it like for you to go overseas and expand that type of aspect into your life?
Yeah, that was an amazing experience, and yeah, I fought the Risen champion, Kana, and yeah, so you know what, a lot of people were like, oh, why are you taking this fight, and a few people, you know, they had doubts in me. You know, I knew it was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, or, you know, never, not saying that I'll never go back, but it's like an opportunity that you don't want to give up, and, you know, I was training pretty hard, and you know, I just wanted to do it, and I put up a very good fight with her. Yeah, it was just an amazing experience. The Japanese fans and everyone at Risen were amazing, and yeah, it was a great, great, great opportunity.
Yeah, you know, it's cool because it shows the transition, it shows the growth. You know, this sport can be very brutal. This sport is. It's quite controversial in many manners. You know, how does a girl from Canada, you know, get her name out there, become an aspect of the sport, you know, and be able to grow and get to the platform that you truly are searching for?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think definitely, like, being a Canadian in general, not even, like, a female and in the atomweight division, like, it's been very hard. Especially for sponsorships, and like there's only a few like Canadian leagues right now, like MMA leagues, and a lot of like really good talent here. So I think too, like also like when I was like King of the Cage champion, and like, you know, in the past, you know, it's an American league and everything. So you know, they have their favorites for sure, but you know, definitely was amazing to, you know, represent Canada for sure. Made sure they all knew I was Canadian.
Yeah, you know. There was a statement that you put out there, and I found it to be really cool. You know, you said, most women would you know, rather wear jewelry. I would rather win gold. You know, what inspired that statement, Melissa?
Oh, yeah. I guess there's like, you know, being like, you know, a young lady. And, you know, there's like this. A lot of people, like, you know, they have, like, assumptions about me. And, you know, to me, nothing is more rewarding in this world than, like, training for something or working towards something and, you know, getting the end result that you, you know, you worked so hard for. And for me, I've spent so many years, so many months sacrificing, you know, all those belts that I have, you know, they mean the world to me. And you know what, it's just, I'm not like a materialistic person, it's just like the hard work that goes into it. Those both mean a lot.
Who, when you look back in life, you know, we have those certain people that, you know, they give us a push when we need it, they mm-hmm. they give us the advice, the intent that we need to make that realization ourselves in life that this is where we need to be. This is what we need to do. Who was it in your life that gave you that effort, that aspect, that idea for you to take who you are and define yourself and create yourself in a sport like you have?
Yeah, to be honest, like, you know, I've had like a few, like, I've had like my coaches definitely push me and support me. like my brother, like some of my family members and like, you know, friends that are supportive. But when it comes down to it, it's always been myself. I have like, I'm very, very ambitious and I have like a huge drive. And for me, I feel like I've like, you know, it's something that I want. Like, you know, no one can tell you what to do. It's like, you know, like I said, like if you put your mind to anything, you can achieve, you know, whatever you desire.
You know, one thing that was cool is, like, I do a boxing show on Thursdays. I do a Legends in Boxing. And a tremendous brother of mine, Scotty the Bulldog Olsen, he's up there from Canada. You know, and that's one thing I've been noticing on the fight scene lately. A lot of Canadians are starting to rise and step up to the challenge of the sport and compete on a world level. What does it mean for you to be able to be a part of that movement of the Canadian fighters growing into the sport as a prominent aspect?
Yeah, no. Even at my gym, like there's so many like really talented fighters. And like I remember when I first started competing, actually, to be honest, I've never had a pro fight or even any amateur fight in Canada. It's always been in the States or like internationally. So, you know, I'm hoping my next fight will be here in Canada, in Ontario. Like here in Ontario, Canada, I guess like the sanctioning bodies and stuff, it took a while for them to like, you know, start to legalize the sport of MMA and the Muay Thai. So, you know, my next fight, I'm really, really hoping that it will be a local fight.
Yeah, that would be cool. You know, it's travel gets to be a pain in the butt, you know, but
it's a little louder.
You look at, promotions like Invicta, what would it mean for you, Melissa, to get a call from Invicta to come compete for them?
Oh, yeah. I watch pretty much all the Invicta fights, and I think all the fighters are, like, really talented. A couple of my friends, you know, they've fought for them or they're fighting currently for them. They represent women, like, really well, and, like, I know that they're very it's very prestigious, like, and they have the atomweight division, and, like, yeah, I really respect them, and I love watching all the fight cards put on really good shows.
Yeah, it's cool because I've been with them for, gosh, I think me and Victoria, I think I out of 36 shows, I think I've only missed four shooting them. So it'd be an awesome opportunity for you because it's truly a tremendous platform. We talked about it on the show earlier where I look back in the sport, and everyone that I shot in their debuts in Invicta now in the UFC, you know, so it is a major pivotal point to that aspect, to that road. You know, what are you looking for in the fight world? Are you looking to just get your name out there? Or are you looking to get that opportunity in the UFC like everybody else?
I would love the UFC to have open up an atomweight division. But, like, right now, I'm looking to fight, get back to it. I took a little break after my last fight. But I'm looking to fight again soon within the next couple of months. I'm already training hard. And I'd like to fight locally. If not, you know, there's a few other leagues that I have that I would love to fight for. And, yeah, definitely just come back, get a very impressive win. And, yeah.
I like that. You know, you look at all the aspects that you've enthralled around yourself, and yet you stay so humble. You know, you want to fight at home. You want that opportunity. But, you know, it's kind of crazy because this sport takes us from one direction one day to a completely different direction the following day. And you can never really put anything on it because it has changed like that to my listeners. It really does. You know, I don't know. It's like with you, you've got so many aspects to you from Taekwondo to Muay Thai to MMA to you're a well-rounded fighter. You know, where do you feel that you best or what is your best aspect when it comes to the sport? What do you feel that is your strongest point?
I'd say definitely, like, my heart and my drive. And then in terms of technical abilities, I'd say I'm definitely a striker. But you know what? There's always like room to improve. And right now, that's what I've been doing the last few months, the last little while. You know, I'm like stepping up my game and my training, and yeah, gonna come back and get a couple wins. And yep.
You know, I want to ask you a question that I've asked legends on my show, because I think you're young, but I think you can articulate them well. You know, what does pride, passion, and what is it? I got tongue-tied. What does pride, passion, and persistence truly mean to you, Melissa?
Yeah, definitely, like, that's the one thing, persistence. Persistence is key. And passion, like, for sure, martial arts is my passion, and, like, I love training, even though sometimes I hate it, or, like, you know, some days you have, like, training's hard. Training for a fight, there's nothing harder in this world. Well, I'm sure, well, maybe nothing harder in this world, but it's very, very hard, and you have to want it. You have to put 110% effort into it. Like, I took a few months off just to, like, you know, pursue other, like, things, and, you know, and now I'm back to it, and, like, it's something that I'm very passionate about, and, like, you know, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to get it.
I like that. You know,
yeah.
The thing of it is, you do have a life away from the sport. You do, you know, have an aspect of who you are defined away from the sport. But, you know, it's crazy, because I look at myself. I shoot, I do radio, and then now I'm getting ready to do commentary for BareKnuckleFighting.com. And I hate television. I'll be honest with you. I hate it. But it's an aspect that I need to change myself and get ready, get myself ready, I guess is the best way to put it, because everything is evolving. Where do you see you evolving to, and what would you like next, you know, up on the plate, Melissa?
What do I see next to myself?
Yeah, and what would you like to evolve in that aspect?
Evolve? Yeah, I just want to get, like, I just want to, I want to fight within the next, hopefully, fight within the next 2 to 3 months. And, yeah, just continue to train, continue to train hard, and just improve myself in all areas of my game. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just, you know, I don't make really long-term goals. You know, mostly, like, you know, just, like, specific goals. Like, right now, my next focus is, like, a fight, winning my next fight and, you know, doing impressively. And, yeah, just, you know, one thing at a time, right? I don't want to jump too ahead of myself.
Right. I feel you there. You know, I'm going to kind of throw a Barbara Walters question on you. It's, you know, I like to do this. I like to give the fighters a bad time, because it makes you think about yourself, you know, and that's what the show is truly about. It's about you sharing who you are with the listeners worldwide. You know, every once in a while, we walk through a parking lot and we see a reflection of ourselves in the window, or we're walking down a path in a parkway and we look down at the puddle and we get that, just that brief moment of a reflection into who we are. Who do you see?
I see a fighter. Even that's the thing, like, a fighter, not, I'm a very sweet person, you know, I'm a very kind person. And the thing, another, even when I haven't, you know, the last, I've been off, like, you know, I haven't had a fight since, like, last November, so I've been, like, off, like, you know, fight camp for, like, a little while. But, you know, I'm a hairstylist, that's, like, my full-time job, and I also run a program called Warrior Woman Fit, so I just started that back in the winter. It's a fitness, like, an MMA type boot camp for women. So, like, you know, I have, like, a lot of different, like, you know, things that I'm passionate about. But, like, I definitely consider myself as a fighter. And even if I'm not, like, training as hard, yeah, I'm always thinking. I'm always, like, you know, yeah, I'm always, like, thinking about, you know, my next goal. And I'm always, I'm just, like, always, you know, trying to improve myself.
I like that. You know, it's kind of cool that you brought that up, because I interviewed Justine Kish on the Facebook Live the other night, and she has this thing called Kish Fit, And she only opened it up for, you know, a limited amount of people. But they're not necessarily fighters in the sport. They're just people that she wanted to help get fit, help be able to defend themselves,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, help them grow spiritually and physically. You know, what is it about you that has you wanting to give back in that aspect to the Canadian women, the Canadian aspect, or just any athlete in all?
Yeah, like, it's funny. Like, a lot of women, a lot of people will come and tell me they look up to me and, like, you know, they find me, like, so inspiring and this and that. And it's always, like, I feel so flattered. But, like, even as, like, you know, myself, like, I'm like, oh, really? Like, why? Like, I don't think there's anything, like, crazy different about me. But it is really flattering. And, like, you know, it's nice. Martial arts is a thing. Like, it gets you fit. And also it makes you mentally tough, makes you mentally stronger. And that's the thing. Martial arts is, like, such a great way. So, like, to basically show it to them in a way that, you know, they can do it. Because not everyone that does martial arts needs to become a fighter, right? But for me, like, even, like, when I'm older and I stop competing and stop fighting, like, I'm still going to practice it. I'm still going to do it for my mental state and, like, health, fitness, and just to keep me sane. it's great, you know.
You know, what are your parents' thoughts about you competing in the sport, and how did they bring that about to you, or were they 100% on board with you? What were their thoughts as you moved into the sport?
Well, to be honest, they put me in it. They put me in Taekwondo when I was, in grade 2, and I used to compete. I used to love sparring. That was my favorite thing. I never was really into, like, the, you know, the katas and all that stuff, but, like, I loved sparring. But, you know, growing up, I wasn't, like, super close. Even now, I'm not super close with my parents. Like, my dad's, like, very, you know, he's happy. He's always asking me about, like, competitions and stuff, but I have a twin brother, and he's been to, like, you know, my local fights and everything, and, you know, proud of me and, you know, my family members. But to be honest, I don't think my parents, like, they've seen some of my fights, like, from the past and everything, but I don't think they really truly know how, like, hard and tough and how, like, you know, how violent of the sport of MMA can be. You know what I mean? It's hard to watch, for sure. You know, I could imagine, like, you know, your kid or, like, someone, even someone that you love, someone just being in the audience and, like, yeah, watching them,
fight. Hard
but
for
I consider
me because...
it as just a sport.
Yeah, it's hard for me because, you know, you look at, I've been here for 24 years, so I'm on my fifth generation of fighters, and, you know, it made me really feel old one day when Liam McGarry was on my show, and he said, Don, I can't remember a day that you weren't there, and I'm like going, man, you've been in the sport for a minute, bro, and then, you know, I had Joe Daddy Stevenson on, and we talk about the good old days, and it makes me realize, holy crap, I've been in the sport for 24 years. And, you know, it's like, it's an aspect that I love. You know, the thing that I've taken away most from the sport is relationships, friendships. You know, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the camaraderie. What has truly meant the most to you and has been your greatest takeaway from the sport? Would you say it's the friendships, the camaraderie, or... what aspect is it?
Oh, yeah, definitely the experiences and, like, the travel. And I'd say, oh, there's so many things. It's hard to choose. But definitely some of these moments, like, it just sets you up. Like, it really helped me. And I bet you would help anyone in, like, their day-to-day life. You know, just, like, you know, with some days, like, you're in the midst of training camp and you're so tired, exhausted, and, like, you have to push through and, he's just like, even like the weight cuts, everything, right? And just going up, even like going in the ring, the octagon, like it's just and fighting. And just those moments, like, yeah, only like everyone could experience it. It's very special moment.
Adrenaline junkie.
I guess, kind of. But you know what? To be honest, I go in there as calm, as like cool as a cucumber. I'd say like my, I guess, you know, someone once, well, someone told me that I'm a game day fighter, and you know, in training, I I'm a different person. When I go into the ring, when I go for fight day, it's like I put the game face on. Different person.
Yeah, you have to. You have to be able to know when to flick that switch, and that's what's tremendous about you athletes. It's you guys know what to do. And, you know, I love your fighting style, too, because, you know, it reminds me of Syed a lot, of a fighter that he doesn't, I don't know, he wants to give the crowd what they paid for, you know. So he likes to bring it. And that's one of the reasons why I asked you on the show, is because you like to bring it when you're in the cage. You know, you want to give the fans what they paid for. And that right there caught my attention, and I kind of looked back into who you were. And, you know, I said, I got to have her on the show because I have different variances of fighters on my show. And these are some of the best interviews because you catch the fighter as they grow. Now that you look over your shoulder, you know, you've had so many fights, you've had so many experiences. Did you ever come to the realization or surmise that you would you know, ascertain so much growth thus far in the sport?
I didn't hear the last part.
I said, did you ever, you know, when you looked over your shoulder, did you ever surmise that you would have so much growth in the sport? Did you ever think that you would be at the level that you're at so quickly as you have?
Yeah, you know what? It happened really fast, to be honest. Like, I went straight from Muay Thai. I did, you know, I had, like a national Muay Thai tournament, and then a couple months later, I had my first pro MMA fight in the Caribbean, in Trinidad. And, yeah, so it happened. It happened really, really fast. But I'm happy it did because, you know, I fought, you know, amongst like the best, like top three, top ten in the world. And yeah, definitely the experience. You know, was just, you know, you need that. I'd rather fight, you know, the toughest, you know, the toughest atom weights around. And like, you know, it just, it makes you stronger. It makes you a better fighter. And it makes you like, you know, you live and you learn. And you just, yeah. So. I'm happy, you know why? I rather, you know, I'm happy the route that I took, and yeah, I can't wait to get back in the cage. And yeah.
Like, I can't wait to get back in the cage. I want to get back in there and beat somebody's face in.
Pardon?
Well, it's the truth, you know. And you know, it's funny because, you know, I love the enthusiasm, the excitement that you bring to the interview, because it shows how passionate you are about the sport. And like I said, that's one of the main reasons why I wanted you on the show. And, you know, you have a tremendous amount of respect and love for Muay Thai. So, you know, I'm a Muay Thai freak. Everybody goes,
oh, yeah.
Well, I got my start in boxing. And then I went to Pride and Glory and then transitioned to the UFC and then Bellator. But the thing of it is, it's like my heart and passion's always been with Muay Thai. I'm a true traditionalist through and through. I love the older aspects of the sport. You know, I was able to make a couple of tremendous brothers in the sport, but two that come out to mind is Dean Lassiter and Jacob Stitch-Duran. We're two tremendous friends in life, and I got to throw Pat Miletich in there too. You know, the brotherhood that I've taken away from the sport and the sisterhood that I've taken from the sport has truly created me and made me want to give back. And I can see that's the type of person you are. That's the attitude you maintain and withhold. And it says volumes about who you are as a fighter. You know, I'm honored you came on the show. I'm glad you took an opportunity and came on the show to put, you know, honestly, you know, it's been a true honor to have you on here tonight. I'm going to toss the mic to you. And if you have any friends or family, any sponsors, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to say to the sporting world, the floor is yours, Melissa.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for, you know, having me on this show. It was a pleasure talking with you. yeah, I just want to thank all my coaches, my teammates, and all my my friend right now is not pointing to him. so basically, yeah, all my friends, my teammates, my coaches, my sponsors, and yeah, so look, I'll be looking to be fighting in the next 3 months or so, 2 to 3 months, and yeah, so I'd love to be back, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now, where can my listeners follow you on social media, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so I do have an Instagram account. It's my name, Melissa Karajani. And I have my Facebook, my fight Facebook page is Melissa Magic Karajani.
You know, I can't wait till you get your fight. Hopefully when you get your fight, you give me a shout, and I'll bring you back on the show, and we'll share you with the world once again. You know, it was truly an honor to have you on my show. I can't wait for the next time. I can't wait. Hopefully you get to fight at home, you know, and you get to do what you want to do. I said,
oh,
hopefully
yeah,
you get to,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
That'd be so dope,
totally.
You know. Get to fight on you.
I know.
Well, see, my brother Zach Cummings, who fights in the UFC, you know, I've known him, you know, almost his whole life. And it's funny, out of his 6 years that he fought in the UFC, I think only maybe two or three of them have been in the States. All the rest of them have been out of the country. So,
oh, wow,
you know,
yeah.
So I know what it means for a fighter to be able to fight at home. It's a tremendous opportunity, so you get to have your people there, you know, per se in your backyard. So, you know, I hope that happens soon. And when you do, give me a call. We'll bring you back on the show, and we'll make it happen. You know, I truly appreciate, and I'm honored that you came on the show to see, you know, tonight and took a chance on the Fighter's Voice with me. You know, it's kind of different, but I don't want to be your standard Wikipedia or Tapology show. Anybody can do those. You know, best of luck to you, my friend. And like I said, I hope you give me a call before your next fight, and we'll have you back on.
Yes, thank you so much. Will do. Have a good night.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
You have a good night. God bless. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Melissa Magic Kariani. I didn't want to try to say the name. I didn't want to screw it up. You know, the first guest we had on tonight was Victoria Leonardo Mason. I can't even talk tonight. You know, so I would have really screwed it up. Oh, man, it's been one of them days. My hay fever's acting up. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. You know, what I love adding to the sport is different layers, different textures, you know, bringing different aspects. Yeah, I can do a show with a legend on every show, but then you would never know who's coming up. Then you would never know the true aspects of the sport. And I like defining all of them, as they all deserve a voice, the Fighter's Voice. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitcher-Rand, and Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. On that note, I want to wish everybody a tremendous evening. Have a good night, and God bless. I think I'm going to take us out with my homie, if I can find him. I don't even know if I can find him. We're going to look for just a second, but can't wait for Invicta. That's going to be tremendous. So we'll go out with some mystical. Everybody have a good night, and God bless.